to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. Hello everyone, we're back again. It's a new episode. I don't know why, but I feel kind of weird today. But you know what? We're gonna focus on other things and cheer the fuck up and whatever. I hope you're having a good day though, because that would be great for me, because I would be happy that you are. Yes, let us talk about things and share experiences and masquerade happiness and satisfaction with the human experience. It's not like I'm not sick of trying. A mistress to my madness, the lavish Lady Byron, reborn and reformed, but still chaotic and cruel, surviving shipwrecks, but always missing the ocean in my lungs. It's so easy to surrender, to die without a fight, so that I will be remembered as the perfect mix of desolate and dazzling. I'm not desperate these days. I take each moment as it manifests, because while my body walks the earth, I am high above the sky in a place nobody has ever been, and nothing down there seems to do much for me anymore. I am a wayward witch without judgment or self-command, self-destructing just to be a decoration to the sunrise's sweet rays. Raining down on the earth, I'll never rain. Hoping to land at my lover's door. She considers me insane, careful as she kisses me. My nail polish is still wet, and our love is young and lustful. The stars are bright and braying, and her hands are all over mine, until we are both covered in cheap black nail varnish. She never asks me where I go or how long I'll be missing. She just tells me that she misses me, and each time she does, it is more and more addictive. My arms are covered in scars, but she never asks me for their stories. She just sits and stares by the front door until I fall down from the sky. I was reading something the other day. It came up on my Twitter timeline about Byron, and I hadn't written anything that day, so I thought, I'm gonna write something using this. So I went and I sort of looked up his life, which was absolutely chaotic, by the way. I mean, this dude was next level fucked up. I took bits and pieces and kind of created this Frankenstein's monster of little things I was going to drop into this poem. And you know, so I kind of created this narrative of somebody that, you know, just is incredibly unsatisfied with the world. Just the kind of person who looks at life and is just like, this is really not what I feel it should be, and I'm not having a great time. And so they're not really spending a lot of time being alive, you know. I mean, of course they are, you know, but they spend a lot of time in dreams and fantasies and, you know, kind of just escaping from everything that's around them. But there's one person that draws them back, because there's one person that makes it feel worthwhile, you know. And I feel like that is like what I'm looking for, because, you know, I don't really spend a lot of time sort of on Earth either. Which is probably where the idea came to me, because, you know, I spend a lot of time, you know, daydreaming and imagining I'm in other places. And my favourite time of the day is definitely when I get to go to sleep, because it's like I get to just go do whatever I want now. I don't have to be here. and I find it very, very exhausting, you know, to be human and everything that comes with it, you know. And so I guess I'm searching for someone to be that sort of tether, that anchor, somebody that kind of pulls me back to reality for a little while, because they make reality a bit more bearable, you know. It's like, you know, this person is like a little treat for surviving life, you know, and being here for a little while. And you can go and you can have your fun and explore like other realms and other times and realities, and go not be on this earth for a little while, but you come back because you have someone that you need and they need you. And I just think maybe that would that would just make everything better. And I don't think I've ever really found anyone like that that I could keep for a long time. Anyways, cruelty of life and fate has always taken them away. But there has to be a time when that doesn't happen, right? But I don't know when that is, and I don't know who that is, but I'm on the lookout. I called God last night because with everything he has going on, I figured he'd like an update from his messiest, most dramatic daughter. "Daddy," I said, without a hint of irony, knowing full well that he had watched me give that title to another man I was willing to worship. "Daddy." He sighed, but seemed to do so lovingly, as if I was a mess, but one he hated to watch unravel, because he had always wanted more for me. And though he was frustrated watching me walk with my eyes closed into danger on a daily basis, he was slightly comforted that I always came home in one piece. So far. "Daddy," I whispered, my voice wavering before it was lost, fumbling to be free from floods and flurries, overpowered by the sound of my heart, shattering, splintering inside me when I thought of you. I cried all night, He sat on the other end of the phone, ignoring the world burning in the background, telling me that time heals everything, and for everything else, there is vodka. Telling me that nothing lasts forever, elation or eruptions of pain. Telling me that one day I'd look back and laugh. And that was when I snapped. No longer asking, but telling, begging for relief, to feel something new, to forget just one of the things about you that keeps me a prisoner, so I could find myself closer to freedom. Daddy knew what was in my heart, but he couldn't grant my wish, because praying never worked that way, not even for his favorite girl. And sometimes, suffering is good for the soul, or at least good for writing material. I wrote that a very long time ago. I'm pretty sure I've probably actually read it on this show before, but it would have been ages ago, like last year sometime. And at the time, I really, quite legitimately, felt like the world was ending. And not just because of the fucking pandemic shenanigans. I mean, that was obviously happening, that was going on, but no, I was more upset because my relationship was like falling to pieces in front of my eyes, and I couldn't do anything to stop it, even though I was trying very hard to do that and like fix things and make everything stop breaking, because without it I felt invalid, broken, like I was back at the beginning with nothing. And you know what? I mean, there's a line in there about, you know, God essentially telling me, one day you'll look back on this and you'll laugh. And I mean, maybe I'm not laughing, but I am certainly, well, I mean, I physically am, but I'm certainly looking back and saying, it was for the best. I mean, could I have done without the cruelty? Yes, certainly. I certainly didn't need some fucking man to make me feel like shit about myself for several months. That would have been a lot better for my self-esteem had that not happened. But I think it was kind of an unraveling, but like in a good way. Because it was like the, I want to say lies, because for me, lies is something like dishonest, and but like in a bad way. I think sometimes you can be untruthful, but not in a malicious way. Do you know what I mean? But it kind of tore away the untruths that I was telling to myself. You know, I was crying not because this person, that actually, if I was being honest with myself, I had a lot of things that I would have to excuse because I didn't like them about him. And there was a lot, like, even from the beginning when you're supposed to be like all happy all the time, even from the beginning, there was times when I fucking wasn't. And I would just lie to myself and say, yes, you are, because you're gonna be fine. It's all gonna be good. You're gonna get married. It's all gonna be fucking fabulous. You know, and then you can be a normal person and whatever. And I could take away those things and I could look at it realistically and I could say, it's good that you're not going to continue with this delusion, because one day you would have reached a point where you would be so unhappy, but you wouldn't have a way out in the way that you do now. Because right now, you can walk away and try and find something that is true, and try and find something that is genuinely what you need. But if this hadn't happened, I mean, yes, it was, you know, painful and humiliating, and personally annoying to you. But, you know, I mean, Christ, girl, what if you had fucking married him? Then what? You'd be stuck in a legally binding contract. And, girl, you would have been so screwed. Because, I mean, and you know you're going to be successful, sis. You know that you are. We've talked about this. And so you would have ended up, like, I've never been divorced, obviously, but I don't know if it's like a thing in this country where you have to like pay the other person like money if they're like not as rich as you. So like, if I become very successful and then I have to divorce this man because I don't actually want to be with him and I've been lying to myself for several years, I then have to pay him? Go, count your damn blessings, okay? Yeah. It was a difficult thing, but it was the right thing. You just didn't realize it at the time because you were too busy boohooing about, for fuck's sake, now I have to find another fucking man so that I can like scam him into marrying me so that I can feel like a normal heterosexual Caucasian woman. that takes me back. Oh, brown eyes is back. I'm going to be a Caucasian woman. I will never be. And I'm at peace with that and very happy about that at the moment, because I'm in this kind of time where I really actually enjoy myself and I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, look at you with your beautiful soft brown skin, your beautiful brown eyes and your lovely dark hair that's very exotic and fabulous. And look at you. Look at you. You don't have a man's ring on your finger. You just have some rose quartz and a ring your grandma gave you one time. And also some cheap stuff you bought on Amazon that you just like because it looks fancy. And you belong to nobody but yourself. And that is such a good place to be. Because now you can actually find things that are going to make you happy. You know what I mean? And you know what? Would it be uncouth and unfair to say that I'm happy that I don't have to excuse a bunch of shit that I don't like about somebody and fake being happy, not just to everybody else but to myself? I would have these moments of clarity sometimes. I remember we had just got off the phone and he had spent for some reason a long time going on about how the M word was just a word, and I was in the moment, I mean I was kind of shocked. I was like, what did this Caucasian just say?
Excuse me? What on earth? And listen, let me tell you this. This was... And listen, no offense to white people. I love white people. My mother is white. I love her. My grandparents are white. I have white friends. I mean, I'm literally like half white. So I can say all this shit. I can tell this to you. This was a pale as fuck white boy from fucking Inverness trying to tell me that the N-word is just a word. And I was sat there like, bitch, I'm probably the only like black adjacent person you've ever damn met. And I'm only like half black. What the fuck are you saying, bitch? But I didn't say that to him at the time because I was convinced. I was like, you know what? No. We are not allowed to be upset with him. We gotta keep our mouth shut. We gotta be polite. We gotta smile. Because we need this idiot to just like marry us for some reason. So that we can be normal, in air quotes. Because I was still struggling. I couldn't accept that I didn't have to do what everyone else was doing to be happy. You know what I mean? So it's like I have to follow this path. And there were moments when I was straight up thinking to myself, I do not like this person as a person. But, you know, a gal's got to do what a gal's got to do. And I did the same thing with another guy. Like, he would say the dumbest fucking things too. And I would just sit there and smile and be like, wow, okay. Just thinking to myself, if we have kids, I hope that they just get my genes entirely, because you are a fucking dreadful example of humanity. Oh my God. And it's just funny because at the time, it's like I'm crying because it's like I'm by myself. Now I have nobody. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. If I'm being honest, it was never them. It was never them as people. And so it's funny looking back on these things that I wrote at the times. You know, when I would sort of be trying to gently say that to myself, you know, one day you are going to accept that truthfully, you were not here for the right reasons, so you're not going to be crying about this forever, you know. Your heart is not broken by them in particular. It's broken because you are scared of what comes next. You are scared of the fact that you don't know what the fuck you're gonna do. You are sat there like that reaction video where there's those two ladies and they're like, well, what the hell are we gonna do now? Bitch, that is you. You are not crying for these dumb and frankly, in a lot of cases, incredibly problematic men. You are crying because you gotta find another one real quick so you can look like a heterosexual. And you don't know how many more times you can do this because you are exhausted. It's only been like 2 or 3 times and you're so tired of it already. You're so tired. I think if I had stayed with... There was a guy that I went up with at university. I think if I'd have stayed with him forever, I probably could have, like, played straight for my whole life. Because he was kind. And he was, you know, a sweet person. And we got on. And I probably could have kept up the charade for like the rest of my natural life with him, but I think in some way there was like a slight relief with everybody else when it was like done, because it's like, oh my god, I can stop pretending. But I could never celebrate that or accept it, because I was sort of trying to masquerade and do the whole I'm so sad thing, because I don't know, I felt like I had to. But to be fair, that guy at uni, I don't think it would have been fair to him if I'd have stayed with him, because he's an actual good person and he deserves to have like real genuine love. I mean, it's not that, here's the thing, I do feel that I did love him, just not in the way that I think he probably needed. I loved him as a friend. I loved him as, you know, just somebody that, it was kind of in the same way, because I have this friend, and we've been friends since we were kids, and he's gay, and I remember we used to say to each other that if we didn't get married by the time we were 30, I think both of us vastly just kind of underestimated how hard it is to get married when you live in a hookup culture. But we said if we didn't get married by the time we were 30, we're going to marry each other. And we used to joke about it all the time. And sometimes I used to think, well, that'd be great. I would actually love that, because, you know, there's no pressure. You know, a woman does not have pressure to have sex with a gay man because he doesn't want to, you know, and we can live in a house, we can be happy, we can be mates, just hang out all the time, you know, watch Bridget Jones on the sofa, have hot chocolate, cook dinner with each other, it'll be lovely, adopt a couple of kids, maybe get a dog, it'll be fabulous, fairy camp. And I, that works if you're having a sham marriage with a gay man who has no interest in being romantically with a woman. But I mean, that guy from uni, he was straight, so I don't think it'd be very fair to him, because I could probably pretend sometimes, but I don't think I could, you know, do everything he wanted all the time, and I think that'd be quite personally disappointing for him, and it wouldn't be fair to him. But everybody else, I think realistically, I don't think I could have survived being married to them. I just really wanted to have that image and that delusion, and so I pretended that I could handle it, and I couldn't. I look back and I just think, sis, what would that married life have looked like? What would it have looked like? You would have been so fucking unhappy. I mean, you were unhappy a lot of the time anyway, but Jesus, I would have been next level unhappiness. So it was good. And would you look at that? You are laughing about it after the fact. Because as it all turns out, daddy knows best, I suppose. We meet at midnight and you are full of fever. My heart is candy floss and lollipops, a sweet soul that you are transfixed on taking with your wide wolf eyes and your charming drawl. I wrap my manicure against your office door, nails bathed in black paint, your favourite colour, and I taste like all your favourite flavours, so you tell me, as you yell for me to let myself in. I have been letting myself into your life for a long time now. I never stay too long, so that you'll be left longing, salivating as the sun goes down. I rewatched Drag Me to Hell the other day. I don't even know why. I was just in the mood to like watch it because you know what it was? There was a thread on Reddit in the horror subreddit, and they were talking about like moments from horror films that are like funny. And I read one of the comments and it talked about the seance scene in Drag Me to Hell, and I just thought, oh my god, but it is funny. You're right. Okay, so I guess I could describe it. I mean, yes, it's spoilers, but out of context, it doesn't really like give anything away. And also, this film came out like over a decade ago, I think. So I feel like, let me check. Yeah, God, this film came out in 2009. But anyways, if you don't want to like hear what happens, then you can just like skip forward by like a minute and you'll probably miss what I'm gonna say. So there's this scene where they do a seance, right? And they put like this spirit in a goat, and then and the goat calls this lady a whore, and then like the spirit goes into some man, and then he starts doing some weird girl. He does like this little dance. It's a moment, and I think about it all the time, and it's so unintentionally funny. So I decided I was gonna watch the movie again. I had a lovely time, darling. I had a lovely time. What can I say? I love just like watching my fucking horror movies. That's just who I am. And for some reason, I had this idea. Because I had also earlier that day, I had watched The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, where Homer sells his soul for a donut. Which is so relatable, because I mean, maybe not for a donut, but there are a lot of things I probably would sell my soul for. Oh shit, if the devil's listening to this, he's gonna be like, oh shit, there's an easy target. No, stay away from me. God, where the fuck are my rosaries? Anyways, so I was just, the whole day I was just kind of thinking about like hell and, you know, souls and things, and I thought, I'm gonna write something about like someone who's kind of like got the devil tripping a little, you know. She's like, maybe he comes down and he's like, hey, heard you want to sell your soul, and she's like, I mean, I could, but like, romance me. And then she basically scams the devil, because she makes the devil fall in love with her. And so then he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm gonna take your soul, I'm gonna take your soul, but like, first we're gonna go ice skating at Winter Wonderland, and then I'll take your soul. Oh, but there's that film we went to see at the cinema. Oh yeah, yeah, I'll do it, I will take your soul, okay? Look, I know that I've given you the thing you asked for, so really I should be collecting on that debt, but I'm having such a wonderful time getting to know you. You know what I mean? If you could scam the devil like that, that'd be fucking lit, because then you can get whatever you want out of him, but like, you don't have to follow through with your end of the agreement, because you just keep, like, you'll be like, yeah, yeah, I mean, you could take my soul and eternally torture it, but I mean, we were gonna go on that little weekend break, you know, we were gonna go down, we've got your cousin, she's got that caravan in Dorset, we're gonna go on some nature walks and stuff. Yeah, yeah, I mean, we could do it next weekend, you know, we don't have plans. Oh, wait, The Walking Dead comes back next week, so we were gonna watch it together, you remember? Oh, yeah, 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 but you know what, we'll put a pin in the whole you taking my soul thing. We'll get to it when we get to it. We're just enjoying each other's company. And then that, I mean, you pretty much get what you want, and you kind of get out of having to give up your soul. Now, I don't know if this is a workable plan, so I do not recommend anyone try this. Because I don't know if the devil can be seduced. I mean, I would assume that he could, Because, you know, that's kind of like his whole thing. And you would assume if someone is like notorious for like temptation and shit, that they would be quite like they could succumb to it. I don't know. I'm not really, I don't have much experience in seducing and scamming demonic entities, but God, that could be a podcast. Maybe that could be our Halloween special. I try and summon the devil and scam him. Like Lil Nas X. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. If I finish the project I'm writing for Halloween, no, because we'll actually have content. But if we don't, guess who's going to be seducing the devil? It's us. We'll see. We'll see.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Wan, and I'm here with my brand new podcast, What the Actual Fuck is Going On with This Whole Politics Business? Now listen, I got questions and you got questions, so let's get together and find out the answers. Because politics is not nearly as complicated as a lot of people want us to think it is. So join me every week where I break down what is actually going on, what is going to happen next, and if I'm being real, laughing at how meme-worthy some of these kids are, because they are ridiculous. When you tear down the smoke, the mirrors, the maces, and the nonsense, British politics is a clown show. So get your popcorn, put on your red nose, and join me every week for all the gossip on all the guys, gals, and non-binary pals that run the country.
I took 20 tests, BuzzFeed, not pregnancy or coronavirus, because I thought it would be easier to leave you if the internet told me to. It sided with you. I assume they saw your eyes or heard how sweetly you sing off key in the car and thought, how could you ever let him go? But sometimes you just see the signs, even when you drive by, for a little while until they blur into the background when your eyes say, no hope, no harm, just another false alarm. It must be him or I shall die, I sing to myself, pleasantly, no shade. And then I am not dead, but I am entombed in awareness of how far I've fallen in every sense, because I, like the internet, obsessed over the little reasons I should stay. Instead of the flags and the signs and the spell-checked and perfected statement I tell myself I'll send you when I finally snap to inform you that I have come to terms with the end of our terms of endearment. It stares at me every now and again, and I start to wonder if I'll be okay all alone in the world with wide eyes full of tears. I normally watch Bridget Jones and the feeling subsides, but we all know I'm not going anywhere. Too attached to the cage I created for myself, even attached to crying the night away. But every now and again, I stare back and I wonder if I'll save myself this time. That was something else I wrote during that time period, and I'm just like looking at myself like, girl, do you see what we mean now? Do you see what we mean? Oh my god. We all have our coping mechanisms, right?
Yeah.
And mine was pretending that my life would be so desolate and so full of loss. Because some dude who bored me a lot of the time and was quite unpleasant was like with somebody else
and trying to lie to me about it. Because I didn't see myself. And I was looking for all these reasons. Like, I knew what I had to do. I knew what I had to do. You know, BuzzFeed can say her thing. Social conventions can say her thing. Me, myself, I can say my thing. But I knew what I had to do, realistically, deep down. Because I wouldn't have been taking all those damn tests saying, like, should I leave my fucking rickety, you know, douchebag, unfaithful, quite mean boyfriend if I had no, like, inkling within myself that I should. I wouldn't be having long fucking chats with my bestie where he's like, yes, bitch, you should fucking leave him. If I didn't have those feelings within myself, I wouldn't have written literally whole songs about it. That was the funniest thing, because I was writing Honeymooning at the time. And I remember, you know, because I sent him a couple demos, and we were talking about it, and I said, like, I kind of over-explained it, and I was like, oh, by the way, there's a couple of songs on there that are, like, you know, kind of, like, breakup songs, or someone being, like, angry with their boyfriend, but, like, it's not about you, it's definitely not, like, it's not personal, you know. And I was kind of really just, like, exaggerating and pushing that point and being like, it's definitely, none of those songs are about you. They absolutely fucking were. Because I was fucking sick and tired of him making a fucking fool out of me, fucking telling me he loves me every day, running around with a bunch of other people, you know. I think it wasn't even the betrayal. It was more that I was like, the fucking audacity. I'm here. I'm fucking putting up with your shit. And you have the fucking audacity to do this. You have the fucking nerve to be running around thinking everybody fucking... God. It was... I think it was more of like a... How dare you think that you have the right to do this when you ain't shit, bitch. Rather than, I'm really sad because you've betrayed our relationship. Because frankly... I was like, at that point, I feel like I was like mentally checking out half the time. And I was like, look, just as long as I get what you fucking told me I'm gonna get, as long as I get, you know, the fucking wedding ring and the cats and whatever, and you don't fucking make a fool out of me and be real public with this shit, fine, do what you fucking want. But he couldn't even do that. I just... Anyways, my point here really is that I was already like, it was like I was pleading with myself, please, can we just leave and do something else, please? Could we maybe, like, I don't know, be fucking honest with ourselves and acknowledge that we don't want him and we don't want any of these fucking people. We just want to fucking be ourselves and be true and honest. Could we do that? But then I'm like, no. So I ended up going and finding some other fucking girl. Anyways, well, not a girl, but it's weird looking back on sort of that time period and things that I wrote during that time, because it's like I was speaking to myself in a lot of it, and it's like I was trying to give myself the confidence to say, I don't want to be here. This is not fun for me. I mean, even if I had someone that was completely, you know, straight down the line, like not fucking doing all this fuck shit, even then I wouldn't be happy, but it would at least be more bearable. But the point is, it's never going to be bearable. You got to be honest. It's hard, but you got to do it. That's tough. I was just like talking to myself, like saying to myself, please, can we just be happy? Can we do that? please. But then the other me is like, nah, bitch. we gotta keep suffering because, you know, what will people think of you? What will people say? You've just gotta do what you've gotta do. That's just life, you know. But it doesn't have to be. I mean, it sucks that I'm discovering this like years after the fact, but there we are. It's really funny how much a person will just accept and tolerate just to keep an image of themselves. You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like I've lost years of my life because I was trying to fit into this image of what I had to be and who I had to be, and I regret that. And I regret the pain because, I don't know, for some reason I always seem to gravitate to people that are really hurtful. So it's like, not only have I wasted this time, but I've just been hurt like a billion times over. And what was the point of any of it? Because in the end, I still was what I was, and I couldn't hide it forever. And now all I've got is a lot of sadness and a lot of scars and a lot of bad memories, but a lot of really, really great fucking poems and songs. So swings and roundabouts.
Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing top tier patron supporters, Amanda, Kylie,